I'm super attracted to startups that like disrupt unsexy industries. And so I think that's why razors are so interesting. And for innovation to happen within those industries, that makes it like okay to be talking about shaving or just more comfortable with ourselves and more flexibility with, you know, with all of that ourselves. I think that's badass.
I'm Alex Bloomberg, host of the podcast Startup, and you're listening to We Are LA Tech.
Welcome back to the We Are LA Tech podcast here in Santa Monica. Yes, so excited to be here in Los Angeles celebrating the incredible LA Tech community. And today I have this amazing tech talent that has been a friend and an inspiration for years working with multiple LA Tech companies. Cannot wait to introduce her to you. Her name is Kate. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Esprit.
So, Kate, go ahead and tell everybody, introduce yourself to everyone and tell them a little bit about who you are and what you do and why I love you so much.
I have no idea why you love me. That is a mystery to me. My name is Kate Shaw, and I am the Director of Growth and Marketing for a company called Sphinx. Sphinx is a 3-in-1 portable razor for women, which is super fun because it's disrupting the razor industry, which is sort of a hot and fun thing now in LA and I guess just in general in the industry. I've sort of been all around the world here in LA. I've bumped around from different startups and helped grow quite a few startups from a little tiny level to a great big national level, including a nice, awesome stop at Science. Shout out to my Science family. And have just sort of, been around for a while. So,
and okay, what is Science for those that don't know?
I like how this is just going to turn into a Science promo. I love them so much. Science is an incubator. They're based in Santa Monica and they've incubated amazing Silicon Beach. I know we all hate that term, but unicorns such as Dollar Shave Club, MeUndies, FameBit, Hello Society, Urban Remedy, which is the company that I was responsible for their growth. I'm trying to think of other successes. I don't know. I feel like those are some freaking awesome successes. So shout out to them.
Would you call yourself a growth hacker?
Hell no. That's the worst term ever.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the problem with growth
hacking. What's the breakdown? Yeah.
All right. As any professional knows, there is no magic bullet to growth and there's no magic bullet to marketing. And there is this misconception that gets fed to a lot of founders, a lot of CEOs, that if you just hire the right marketer, they're going to come in with some secret snake oil magic sauce and just explode your company with $0. And that's, in my mind, what I consider growth hacking, right? Growth hacking is this imaginary, nonsensical thing. And as marketers, we probably 10 to 3,000 times a day get people walking up to us and they're like, hey, girl, I heard this thing. My cousin's tiny little company, you know, is doing this thing on Facebook where they blah, 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 whatever. And we get like a million people a day telling us that they have the secret sauce and we just somehow are oblivious to it or hell, I don't know. But in reality, what creates successful growth for a startup is trying 10 things, not trying, but rather
experimenting.
There is definitely a level of experimentation but it's going, you know, it's putting your company, having a strategy for your company on 10 channels that you think are going to, that you know from your experience should really work for your company. Maybe 5 or 6 of those create the bulk of traffic and revenue for your company. Maybe one turns out to be bull. And maybe, what does that leave left? 3 are like mediocre, whatever. But it's that combination of 10 and you know, rising waters raise all ships or whatever. And somehow you need that magic sauce of all of those channels. There is no magic bullet. I'm sorry to burst anyone's bubble. And I'm sure there's some douchebag 23-year-old out there listening to We Are LA Tech. And they're like, yo, I got the secret. I can growth hack this company into a multi-million dollar annual revenue company with my little, you know, commenting on Facebook page or whatever. That's bullshit. And it's not true.
This afternoon, I interviewed a female founder named Anna.
I hope she didn't just say something totally different than I said, and I'm just like contradicting
her.
No,
this is really, I'm really excited. So she created a company called Base Pause. As far as I remember, it's her 4th tech company.
Heck yeah, girl.
One of them being a company that was acquired, which was like a Groupon for London. And then she grew it. It was like 150% profit month after month, like increase, whatever. Point is, super successful. Base pause. Every single phone call that comes in, where does it go?
To herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's growth hacking. Growth hacking is not, is like.
So growth, you're saying that growth hacking is like an alternative name to hustling. Or to like working really hard.
I'm making a joke saying like, yeah, there's no such.
Yeah.
Fucking work hard.
Yeah. Just work hard and hustle and.
And care.
And care.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the other thing with, gosh, I'm like really angry at growth hacking. I don't know why. The other reason that
No, because it makes it, you're right. It makes it sound like a quick fix. I mean, same. People with all the time with like, we are LA Tech or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I personally respond. Today I had to send out something like 20 apology emails.
Girl, I have seen how you hustle. Esprit, you guys, has like 400 emails going at any time, 300 texts, like 87 Facebook messages or whatever. And so like if you think that we are LA Tech is just some like posh overlooking the beach where Esprit just sits in like fur coats or something, hell no, this girl is a hustler, as anyone should be in our industry. And I think that the other thing I think with growth hacking is that it does an incredible disservice to those amazing investors that we all rely on,
yeah,
and that all of our growth relies on.
Yeah.
Because anytime that we're saying growth hacking, or what in my mind is growth hacking,
right,
it's giving this like false hope or this delusion,
yeah,
of, oh, we're going to grow, you know, to be this like viral sensation. Oh God, viral videos.
Yeah.
We're going to grow to be like this viral sensation. This, we're going to growth hack this, whatever.
Yeah.
Like that's not sustainable growth. It's not scalable growth,
yeah,
and it doesn't build a healthy company. And that's where we get these companies who, you know, might have whatever, like a 500K monthly revenue, but
yeah,
then they're spending 600K to get, yeah, that 500K. And our investors are getting a little screwed.
Are you talking about Uber?
Just kidding. No. Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's just not like scalable growth, and it's not healthy companies. And yeah I feel like I could go off on that all day.
Yeah, so. No, 100%. So yeah, I'm so on your page. Like when she said that, this founder who's built successful, highly profitable companies on her fourth, and she's like, all customer service calls go to my cell phone. I'm like, yeah. And because that's what it takes.
Should we tell our love story, Esprit, how we got
it
connected?
Yeah.
So the customer service going to her cell phone, to that founder's cell phone, just reminded me of how Esprit and I actually started. I mean, we connected years ago on the We Are LA Tech Pride Facebook page or
something.
I don't know, something. We're just two chicks in Santa Monica talking, geeking out to tech. So,
and I'm personally emailing and messaging everyone back, so I know everybody's name.
So Esprit was a customer of a startup that I was previously a part of, called Farmbox, which then was acquired by Grub Market. And Esprit was a customer of that amazing startup. And myself, as the director of growth and marketing, the original founder of that company, as well as our operations manager, would alternate days that we did customer service.
Yeah.
And so I had, I just used my middle name for customer service. So it was like Teresa, the the customer service rep. And so I began responding to Esprit's customer service inquiry, you know, as the director of marketing or whatever. But like that day, Tuesday, I think the days that was my customer service day. And so we sort of all took turns being the customer service person, despite our titles or whatever.
Do you know that, I'm not sure about this, but 1 month, I think you included like a bonus piece of fruit or something. And
I did that every time you got a delivery.
Oh, did you?
No, I don't know. Every time that I saw that you had an order, I'd always be like, you know, Esprit might like this like almond milk, or like she might like this bone broth.
Okay, so I think this was you, because I definitely didn't order it because I didn't know what it was. A cherimoya.
Mm-hmm.
Would that have been you? A cherimoya fruit? Anyway, in my farm box, I got this cherimoya fruit.
Oh, no. In farm boxes, they Grub Market. This is like shout out to Grub Market.
Yeah.
In
Grub Market acquired Farmbox.
Yeah. So in your weekly delivery, they just put whatever is like in season. So cherimoya would have just been in season.
Oh.
So if you had a fruit selection on your farm box, then it would have been included.
It's now one of my favorite fruits.
Then
and
yes, it was me.
Yeah. I discovered it. I'm like obsessed with cherimoyas. I'm like, oh, how did I not know
these
existed?
Do you think of me every time you have a cherimoya?
Yes, I do. I totally do.
I would be more likely to have included like lavender almond milk or I don't know. Something
oh
like
my
that.
God. Super yum. Yeah. Okay. So let's get into Sphinx. When you first told me, am I saying it right?
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Okay. So when you first told me about it, I didn't really get it. And then when I see it, so let's, it's over there, right? But you could describe it. Describe to me what it looks like. Because when you first told me, I mean, I just didn't get it at all. So I'm pretending that everybody listening right now may not like, okay, Razor Company, Dollar Shave Club, who cares? Or, you know, and it's not that. It's totally, it's shaving on the go.
It is shaving on the go. And the reason that I think that I was attracted to Sphinx was because it wasn't something that people already knew about. Why? Because it's so innovative. And I'm not just saying that because I work for them.
No,
I
literally. Really, like, you guys, it's not a razor. It's a new razor.
So there's a distinction. So all the razors that you guys are at this exact moment thinking of are in the shower razors.
Yes.
And they have multiple blades. Yes. And they sit in your shower and you hang out with them for, yes, you know, 10 or 15 minutes while you're doing your thing
and
in the shower.
And they're kind of like a curved T.
Yeah, whatever. So that's your traditional shower razor. Yeah. We're an incremental sale to that shower razor. We are a 3-in-1 portable travel razor. And so what this has, it's round. It's super adorable. So you can throw this thing in your purse, your gym bag, your center console in your car, your hoe bag, if you're, you know, if you have one of those. Every girl knows what I'm talking about. And so what it is, see, Spree's laughing. Spree has a hoe bag. So what it has is like this little spritz of water. And then you turn this dial, the Sphinx is round, and it has a shea butter moisturizing bar, which you use as a pre-shave moisture, and then you also use it post-shave to keep it moist.
Yeah.
And then it has two single blades. And so what that does is whenever you are running into a business meeting, yeah, and you realize you forgot to shave your armpits, you are impromptu trip down to the beach and you realize that you haven't shaven in a minute,
yeah,
or you just realize that you have some stragglers, some touch-ups,
totally,
and you're, you know, whatever, you can shave in a bathroom stall.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in the shower. You don't have to even have running water.
Yeah.
It's fully designed just to be one complete shave mechanism right there in your hand without the shower and nakedness and soap and all of that stuff.
Two questions. One, razor burn.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it? Because you're not using a lot of water and soap, do we have to worry about razor burn?
You know, it depends how sensitive your skin is. And I think that you probably wouldn't want to shave like a guy's face with a Sphinx. What the Sphinx is for is touch-ups and missed spots. So like your bikini line, you would probably just want to use a lot of the spritz or a lot of the shea butter. But that shea butter really is there for a really intense moisture, so you shouldn't get shave burn.
Could I shave my whole leg?
I wouldn't recommend it.
So like for beach stuff, how would I use it for, like, I'm about to go swimming or something? Yeah.
So you would use it. You would, you know, probably have it in your purse or whatever, and you're here at We Are LA Tech. You're a few blocks from the beach. Someone stops by and they're like, "Hey, Spree, let's go down to the beach." And you're like, "Oh crap, I haven't shaved in days."
Totally.
So you pull that thing out. You're like, "Hey, okay, cool. I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I'll be right back." You pull it out and you could shave your whole leg. We actually include two blades in the Sphinx, especially for that reason. So if you do have a larger area to cover, you have two blades that you can use where you don't have to wash those under running water. You can literally wash them you can wipe it with a napkin. Yeah. You can just tap it out in the sink, whatever. You know, it depends I don't know how hairy your legs are, girl, but I mean, for me right now, I could shave my legs with the Sphinx. It's definitely meant for touch-ups.
It's like a touch-up, yeah.
It's 100% for touch-ups and on the go. We actually formulated it, the blade, to be on the go. So you'll notice, like, you're in the shower razor has like 2, 3, 4 blades. And that's super appropriate and awesome for in the shower. The Sphinx has one blade in each razor. And so what that does is it makes it way easier to clean. It's a really high-grade metal from Sweden. Super great razor, but there's one. So it's easier to clean. It's easier to use on the go. And it just sort of does the trick what it's intended to do.
You know, it's so crazy how often us girls do just forget to shave under our arms. It's weird almost. It's like we shave everything. And we're like, how did I miss that?
And it's then like you're out,
you're wearing a tank top and you're like, oh, shit.
Esprit, I think I'm going to leave a Sphinx for you because I can just see that happening for you.
It happens like so much and it's so annoying. And then you have to keep your arms down all day.
Well, that's actually how Sphinx got was created, because Our founder, who is a badass girl boss, was a major player at one of the large toy companies.
Yeah.
And she was presenting to one of the one of the largest sales meetings to one of the largest retailers of the year.
Yeah.
And she had this huge presentation and she was like lifting her arms to do the presentation. And she realized that people were just staring at her underarms and not in a like elementary school nightmare way, but in a actual reality, like they're staring at her underarms. And she's like, what the heck? So she kind of glances over. Girl has not shaven in a hot, hot, hot long minute. And so right then and there, she was just like, oh my God, I got to solve this problem. And she began talking to all of her girlfriends and they were like, hey, would you ever use something like this? And she started sketching out like, what would it look like to have something that's awesome and you can throw in your purse and you don't mind having in your purse, but is going to take care of these situations. Because sometimes you're a badass woman and you are running from, you know, a meeting in New York to a meeting in LA to the beach or whatever. And you know what? Like, I don't know about you, but I don't have an hour and a half every morning to make sure head to toe I'm totally taken care of.
No.
So, yeah.
And, you know, I'm a backpacker.
Uh-huh.
So...
Well, actually, Esprit, I thought of you because when I was looking to join Sphinx, I was doing my due diligence and I was reading all of the reviews online. And one woman had said her review is 5 stars. And she said, you know, I just took this. I just went backpacking for a month in Southeast Asia and I took the Sphinx with me and I used it the entire time and it was awesome. And it's really funny because Esprit and I were both just in Southeast Asia in November. So it was like perfect timing. And I was like, I wonder if this girl was also with us in Southeast Asia just using a Sphinx.
No, I mean, that's so rare. Okay, where is Sphinx located in LA?
We do our own fulfillment. So we needed a warehouse. So unfortunately that kicked us out of Santa Monica a little bit. So we're in Canoga Park.
Nice.
Just over the hill.
And how many people are on the team?
We are a small team. We're about 10.
And how long has the company existed?
The company actually started in 2014 with a Kickstarter that blew itself out of the water.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's how you say that term. But it really, really got its start in about a year ago in 2017. Two things happened. One, the company decided to have a reiteration or like a V3 of the razor. Yeah. They just like... worked out every kink. Product was absolutely perfect. And they're like, all right, this is good stuff, you know? And they actually did a, like a sales conference, a B2B sales conference in like last summer. And overnight got picked up at like every single amazing retailer. So now Sphinx is available at 3,000 retailers nationwide, including Ulta, Revolve, Anthropology, Urban Outfitters, Forever 21. The list goes on. And so it was just this like crazy. Yeah. And so then that happened last July. B2B business just, you know, it was flying off the shelves. And they sort of paused on B2C and until they could get their head above water, making sure that they were taking care of B2B amazingly. And then about, you know, early like Q1 of 2018, they decided to refocus some energy on B2C and they brought me in. So.
I think it's a really interesting perspective. Well, one thing I'll ask for is funded or self-funded?
Seed round.
Seed round?
Yeah.
One thing, really interesting perspective that I hadn't heard in episodes, at least not any time recent, was it does sound like a very stable game plan to go B2B and then B2C because B2C is a harder sale and not as much money and B2B is bigger and fewer accounts. I think that's something that a lot of, you know, listeners now should take into consideration in building their companies if they do have a product that works like that where they could have business-to-business customers and then later go to a consumer.
This is
safer.
Yeah, so I've seen a few companies who, well, let me take a step back. I think in the We Are LA Tech community, we all want these like B2C, super sexy success stories. And sometimes that like flash to your friend's success story isn't what actually makes a sustainable and healthy business. And so to your point, B2B might be the route for a lot of brands. And I've seen some brands fail with that. I saw some, I was involved on a project.
With the B2B?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was actually involved with a project, two projects, two startups in the LA community who I still love them, but they tried to do the B2B route, and they were software as a service, and it didn't work out so well. They had some major, major brands on board as clients, but just somehow it just wasn't working. And they had specifics for each of those companies that made that a little bit challenging.
It's a good reminder that there's not one path that fits all.
Oh, for sure. No. Yeah. And yeah, I've definitely seen, especially like software as a service, I've seen that fail. But interestingly enough, on the consumer package goods or just the actual tangible goods in general, that seems to fare a little bit better with B2B. I don't know.
You know what I'd love to see? A Flex Sphinx collab. Flex, the alternative tampon.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
How perfect would that be in the hoe bag?
God, I love that. So, also, I love that if I say hoe bag, every single woman's like, yeah, girl, I know what you mean.
No, okay. So we had, okay, this is so funny. So earlier today, we interviewed an introverted engineer.
Tell me he knows what a hoe bag is.
Who said his favorite company in LA is Flex, and he started talking about periods, and I am blushing. Because I'm a Flex customer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I totally know what you're talking about, but I can't talk about this. He's like, you have to talk about it. And he's like, you know, you could have sex with it. I'm like, oh my God, I can't right now.
I love that you're the embarrassed one. You guys, Esprit is one of the most out there, energetic, put everything on the table people that I've ever met. So if it made you blush and it made you embarrassed, I just kind of want to meet this guy.
So I just kind of, I could totally see this like alternative tampon where you could have sex with it in, and the Sphinx where you could shave your legs before you get down and dirty. Amazing collab. Well, and like, it's female founded too.
Oh my God. Make me an intro. I love that. I love it.
Done and done.
You know, the thing that attracted me also to Sphinx was not shaving. Cause like sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't, but rather this like idea of liberation, like, hey, you can shave, you cannot shave, whatever, but you can do it whenever you want. Like if you forget and you want to do it in the bathroom stall, good for you, girl. And I love that same idea about Flex, which is like, you know what, we have some control over our all of our personal care. And it's just a lot more liberating.
I love the way you said, control over, that's exactly how it makes me feel. Mm-hmm. And that's what I imagine that Sphinx can make me feel too, because I am on the go a lot, and I'm not prioritizing shaving in the shower. I'm like lucky if I even get into the shower.
Same.
Especially when I'm backpacking. A shower is like, oh yeah, once every couple weeks. You know?
Yeah.
It's actually one of my favorite things about backpacking. I was like, I can forego the shower. And it doesn't matter. It's part of the culture.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it. Okay. So talked about the team. We talked about how they got there. Where is Sphinx now as a product? I mean, you talked about it a lot. You're in a lot of retailers, but like, where does it want to go?
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, we kind of just covered it in with the, you know, when we were talking about Flex, but Sphinx, God, I don't know how much I'm allowed to say here. We definitely will be releasing new products before Q4.
Yeah.
We're all primed and prepped and excited. So stoked about that. And the expansion of the product line will all be around that same concept of just like giving women more control about their personal care, and some liberation and some choice on that personal care. Again, you want to shave, you want to use tampons, you want to have sex, do whatever you want, but like have all the freedom to do it when and how and in every way that you want. And so, I'm super attracted to, startups that, like disrupt unsexy industries.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why razors are so interesting. And that's why Flex and Cora are so interesting, is that those are super unsexy industries. And for innovation to happen within those industries, that makes it like okay to be talking about shaving, okay to be talking about periods, or just more comfortable with ourselves and more flexibility with, you know, with all of that ourselves. I think that's badass.
And we talked about LA startup company Flex. What LA Tech talent or company have you come across lately that has really impressed you?
So I think the startup that's exciting me most right now is probably Cora, which is an organic tampon subscription service. And it's exciting me most for a few reasons. One, I have this background and this attraction to organic, healthier living, despite my wine habit. And so I'm really excited about any brand that recognizes that not only you know, that I have that need, but that sort of our whole community does. Secondly, they just present the, they've added this like whole cool aspect to it. So yeah. they give you like this little tiny black box that you can set in your bathroom and it's not like, hey, I'm tampons.
Yeah.
They give you this tiny little cute black pouch that you can throw in your purse. Again, doesn't scream it's tampons. I love that it's a subscription service because, like it or not, we're going to be dealing with this, you know, periods yeah. For the next however many years. And so I think it just, so those are like the actual things about that company. But yeah. As a whole, like the trend, I like that, one, it's subscription. I'm a sucker for everything subscription.
Oh, yeah.
Healthy, organic, anything that makes those things more accessible to yeah. me. And then also, like I just mentioned, like anything that disrupts unsexy industries yeah. and makes them, and is successful in that. I think that's just, so cool when something is an unsexy industry and then just becomes really cool.
Okay. So event, LA Tech event that you think is a must attend.
God, you know, I'm probably a bad person to ask because when I used to consult full time, I would go to all of these events yeah. all over town. And it was just hungry young people looking for people to give them jobs or, you know, and it was more like takers than it was yeah. givers. And I would say Subscription Summit because I had a really good time there when I went 2 years ago, but that's not an LA Tech. That's just, it's like a national thing.
Oh, why not? Subscription Summit. I yeah. haven't even heard of it before. You think it's worth it?
I think Subscription Summit's worth it. So it's in its third year. It's going to happen. We're in April right now. It's going to happen like sometime late May in Denver. And I think if you're a subscription box, they had amazing panelists. They had everything from My Subscription Addiction, which is like the big site that reviews subscription boxes. They had some amazing affiliate networks. They had some, they had like the founder of, was it Birchbox? I don't know. They just had some really, really great panelists, yeah. really great speakers. And I learned a lot from them. And so now it's 3 years later. So I'm sure that's going to be
absolutely
amazing.
I totally want to go. That sounds cool.
It's in Denver. You want to go in a month?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Done.
Okay. So that's not an LA Tech event. And then I have a love-hate relationship with Social Media Week LA.
Yeah.
I used to go, this is like aging myself in the tech community. I used to go in like 2010 or whatever, when it was literally called Blog World or Bloggers World yeah. or something, back when blogs were a thing. And it's evolved since then. And I've had, you know, especially like when I was consulting, I would, and just, you know, trying to stay really relevant,
yeah.
given that I was like removed from the workplace a little bit.
Yeah.
I would go to like 8 hours of sessions and like half of them, I'd be like, guys, you have the wrong answer. Let me raise my hand. I remember one time I went and like actually I was a social media consultant and one of my clients was up on the panel
yeah.
speaking. And I was like, I consult you. I tell you, you have questions for me. Like, and she had said something. I don't remember what client this was at this point,
yeah.
but she had said something and I was like, that's actually literally wrong. And I just want to raise my hand and be like, the information that you're giving out to the audience right now is empirically, factually wrong. And so like half of the sessions, I would just get a little bit irritated that they would be like, you know,
yeah.
bad. And then the other half would be, that's pure gold. And now it's gotten really expensive. Like it used to be free. And then it was like, you know, $15 to yeah. $30 per session. And now it's like $500 or $600 for the 3 or 4 days or whatever it is. I don't know.
And so where can people connect with you?
With me, you can find Sphinx at Shop Sphinx. That's SPHYNX.com. Our social handles on Insta and Facebook and Twitter are all Shop Sphinx. And if any of you guys have any brilliant thoughts, please email me. Kate@shopsphinx.com. On Instagram, you can follow me personally at KateShaw27.
And if you had one ask of the community, something that they could do to help accelerate your success, either personally or the Sphinx growth, what would that ask be?
Brand partnerships. You know, we mentioned brand partnership with Flex, and I think that working together, we all seriously create cooler brand stories and cooler opportunities. So if there's anything that would look like an awesome co-branded opportunity, whether it be Flex or White Girl Rosé or who knows what other awesome co-branded partnerships that could come of this. So hit me up, yo.
Yay. And they should email you.
Email me.
Give your email one more time.
Kate, K-A-T-E, at shopsphinx.com.
Thank you so much for hanging out with the We Are LA Tech podcast. Woo! You're amazing. You're an inspiration. You give me brilliant ideas all the time when I come crying at your door, not figuring out how to grow things in a way that makes sense where I still can be a sane person. You're like, have you thought about it like this? So I appreciate you being in my life. Appreciate you being on the show. I'm so excited that Sphinx gets to celebrate your talent within their company and that you get to work with a company that you feel so passionate about. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. If you want to connect with more incredible people in LA Tech, remember you could go to wearelatech.com/VIP. That's wearelatech.com/VIP. And say hello on social at We Are LA Tech, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Yes, you can now get your We Are LA Tech tee. You've all been asking for it. Just go to wearelatech.com/shop to be a part of the movement to make Los Angeles the top city in the world for tech. Yes, we are number 3. Let's get it to number 1. Wearelatech.com/shop. Represent.